This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. And if this sounds a little bit different as far as the acoustics, that's because I am in my car. I'm not at the airport. I'm not waiting for my magic carpet. I'm actually driving because I'm on my way to Austin, Texas for the Magic Collectors Expo. They had this in Las Vegas last year, and this year it's going to be in Austin. And this is Wednesday, and since it's only a few hours' drive from my home, I thought I would just take off this way, and that way I've got my own wheels and everything too. But that means, of course, I didn't stop by Dunkin' Donuts, although I did stop by and get a kolache. And here to talk about the kolaches is my traveling companion today. Please welcome Harriet Jacobson. Hey, Harriet.
Hi, Scott. Love those kolaches. Had no idea what they were.
Well, explain to people what a kolache is.
Oh, it's this luscious dough.
Yeah.
And the first one I had had spinach and mushrooms and feta and a surprise dried tomato. You bet you didn't know this.
No, I didn't have dried tomato.
No, that was the red on top of it. And they heated it up, and I don't know what to compare it to. It was yummy.
They look kind of like rolls when you go to a restaurant, but it's more of a sweet bread or sweet Hawaiian bread kind of a bread. I had one that was sausage and cheese, a kolache, then I also had a cherry and cream cheese kolache. And you had, for a sweet one, you had a what?
I had, it was a cream cheese one, and it was a sweet cream cheese, but the dough around, but it's yummy. I had said to you when we talked, and I was in Michigan, you had driven to Austin, and you said, I stopped and got a kolache, and I said, what is a kolache?
And I said, when you get down here, I'll take you by and we'll surprise you.
Yeah.
And you're learning what bluebonnets are.
Oh, they're beautiful. They're beautiful. All along the drive, the expressway, these little blue flowers along the way. And also the
Indian paintbrush.
The Indian paintbrush were the like a dark orange or crimson.
Right.
But they're beautiful. But you said, you educated me again, you told me that Lady Bird Johnson, that was one of her pet projects.
Right. Beautification of America's highways, in particular Texas, right?
Oh, okay. I didn't know it was all our highways.
Yeah, I think mostly, but mostly Texas. But I think she had a nationwide thing when she was first lady.
Oh, okay. That's good. Well, it's beautiful, and it's just the right time of year.
And you never heard of ZZ Top, and so I put in LaGrange.
No.
So we drove through LaGrange, and she got to hear that for the first time.
It's been a learning experience.
So we're on our way to this. We're talking about magic. We're going to the Magic Expo, and you've got some jewelry. You got BJW. You're going to be selling some stuff too, right?
I am going to be selling some stuff starting tomorrow.
Very cool.
Gay's going to be meeting us.
Gay Blackstone
will be
here
in a couple hours.
That's right. We're going to, first of all, stop by Kent Cummins' home and his museum. I'm going to record an episode of a podcast, which will be upcoming in the future with him. And then once we get to Austin and check into the Sheraton Hotel, we're going to catch the bus at 4 o'clock to go to the Ransom Center, University of Texas. And if you go back and listen to one of the podcasts, I had chatted with the curator of the museum, and particularly one of the largest Houdini collections in the world. So we're going to go see that and then go for a barbecue dinner and to see Esther's Follies featuring my favorite magician, Ray Anderson.
And you, more food?
More food. More barbecues tonight. But you've not had good barbecues, so you have some good barbecue tonight,
okay,
too. Well, you're hanging with Scott Wells. I mean, I like to eat.
I know. I told you the last time when we were in L.A. at Gay's for the filming of Masters of Illusion.
Right.
That was a month ago. It took me a month to lose the weight.
And now you're going to be pounding it back on.
That I put on following you and Gay around.
Which, by the way, that was a wonderful dinner we had with John Gaughan.
That was amazing. That cornbread.
That cornbread was the die for. That was amazing. And that, but that's why I never forget that famous thing that John said.
Oh, right.
Because I said, I think I could die. And he said, don't die before you have the meatloaf. And
right.
I thought, what? That is a saying for a T-shirt. It's a slogan. Don't die before you have the meatloaf. That's a way to live life.
Yeah.
Anyhow, so we're going to be having a great convention coming up. I have been working with Trixie Bond also, who is going to be giving a presentation on magicians from Texas. She has known and worked with and grown up with her father being a magician as well, but people whose lives have intersected with hers, like Walter Blaney, Bev Bergeron, Mark Wilson, so many others, Presley Guitar, Bob... Bob White and Billy Cyrus, and a lot of people who you may not know. But she's got a great presentation. And I mentioned Kent Cummins. I believe Kent is also going to be giving a presentation over the weekend. There are a lot of things that are going to be happening, so be sure you come back each day to hear an update on the convention. Also, Chip Romero is going to be talking, I believe, about, of course, Doug Henning. And speaking of which, we will be going to FISM later this year, and Chip will be giving a big presentation up there on Doug Henning, who was a Canadian, of course. And you'll be joining us up in FISM also, is that right?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I wouldn't miss that. It'll be my first FISM.
Yeah.
You know, I'm looking forward to that.
That should be a lot of fun. Well, what are you looking forward to at this convention? I mean, just...
Although we've been in... Michael and I and, you know, Matthew were involved in magic for many, many years. I didn't really understand or know the history of magic. And Gaius asked me to go with her, and we've had the jewelry for sale at many collectors meetings through the last few years. And it's very interesting to me now to learn the history of things I've known and have seen through the years.
Well, you've gotten so involved, you're actually the ambassador of the American Museum of Magic in Marshall, Michigan.
That's right. I forgot.
You were so busy.
I was so busy living it.
Becoming history.
Right. Becoming
history. Making history.
You're right. You're right.
So here we are, again, just riding in the countryside and going to Austin in Texas, and it's beautiful hill country and blue bonnets to the left and right of us with Indian paintbrushes, and a beautiful day. So we will... You got something else?
Yeah, and my cookbook.
Oh, okay.
I keep forgetting. We're coming... If you promised me a recipe and you haven't sent it to me, I am going to resend out some links when I get home after the convention, because it is coming to an end and I do need more recipes.
And for those of you who are wondering what she's talking about.
Oh, thank you, Scott. Go ahead.
She's putting together a recipe book of recipes from magicians. It doesn't matter if you're well-known or not, or if you're just getting started in magic, or if you're a chef, or if you're not. But if you have a special or favorite recipe, or it might have been a family recipe, or something that you enjoy, I don't care if it's pancakes or hamburgers, or some way that you make it that might be different, she would like to have that recipe to put in this book of magic recipes by magicians, as well as a photo and some other stuff.
I need the photo!
Yeah. So to get more information, you can contact Harriet at what's your email?
Harriet, Harriet.Jacobson, Jacobson, @gmail.com, and I'll send you the link that gives you all the information I need.
There you go. That's what you need. So, as I said, we're on our way, and we will catch you guys on the other side once we get to Austin. We've got a lot of fun in packed evening, as I just reiterated to you. So I will see you shortly. That was Harriet Jacobson.
Bye.
Scotty out. We have arrived at the Sheraton Hotel in downtown Austin, and the convention is about to begin. I'm at the registration desk here with the organizer, Bill Smith. How is it going, Bill, so far?
Well, it's a little hectic.
Which is
a lot of people's flights are delayed, but we'll make it. But
you see, Andy Greggett also had a little problem.
Well,
he had
a little card problem, and he's he's our biggest dealer. But
right.
He's at the Chevy dealer right now getting the van fixed. He'll be here.
How many dealers we got?
15.
Okay.
So it's good. But yeah, in about 2 hours, we take the bus, go over to to the Ransom Center. So it's going to be fun.
Have you seen the Houdini collection before?
I was just there yesterday.
Okay, your first time.
Yeah,
pretty cool.
It's pretty great.
Have they brought out some special stuff just for us?
They did, because yesterday, but yesterday it was Ken Trombley and Bruce Averbuch and Gabe Fahuri and Mike Cave. A few of the, like, really stout, you know, serious collectors.
Yeah.
And so they pulled out a little bit more. They're kind of limited what they can do.
They've only got so much room.
Exactly.
Sure.
Yeah. Anyways, I got to get back to work.
I know you do.
All right.
Let you go.
See you tonight.
Thanks a lot.
All right.
Okay. We'll talk to you later. It's Bill Smith. Scotty out. The first activity of the convention was to go to the Ransom Center and also then to hear just a stellar speech that was given, or lecture, I should say. It was given by Dr. Eric Coleri. And here he is, Eric. Hey, good to see you, man.
It's really good to see you. Thanks for coming.
You're looking fantastic.
Oh, this is my element. These are the people that...
I can see by your smile. You're living it. Living the dream.
I mean, we have amazing collections here, and if it's just me and the collections, I anthropomorphize them. They get sad if they don't get visited.
Yeah.
And this is a group of people that really appreciate them, and right. Nothing makes me happier than connecting them with
That's
the
collections. That's why I'm glad I got just a moment of your time,
because
I know that you want to kind of go and revel
amongst
all the people here who do love this kind of a thing. And I know over the last couple of years that we've been so enclosed and not able to do anything. So now you really get a... I mean, we were going to be doing this with the TAOM, for an example, but then it was limited, and then they couldn't do it at all.
Yeah.
Because of new
outbreaks. And,
right, exactly. But now we've got everybody here, about 160 people or something.
Amazing. Yeah. And we've been planning for this for well over a year, and contingency plans if we couldn't get everybody in because of COVID and all that. So I'm thrilled that it actually...
At the last... Now, are there any restrictions at all now as far as people coming in, or do you have limitations?
We do have some limitations still in the reading room, but it's things have really opened up. We're back open now 6 days a week, so... Expanded hours, the galleries are open, and everything's free, so people can come really any day of the week. They can access the reading room. They can come into the programs. They can go into the galleries.
Right.
It's always free and open to the public.
And the lecture that you gave this afternoon was something we had talked about at length during the podcast. So if people didn't get a chance to come to the convention and hear this, I'd say go back into the episode and listen to that one that we did.
It was such a treat to be able to chat with you again. I missed you. It's good to see you.
It's good seeing you as well. This has just been fantastic. I have never been here. So this is
my first. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so this is a new
There's
thing.
No excuse. We need to get you back. More often.
Every well, this is always a few hours away from Houston,
absolutely,
you know.
Absolutely.
I should come more often. This has been and some of the exhibits you got right now, you said you got the James Joyce. I mean, it's not just, of course, we think as magicians,
it's
Houdini's here, but my goodness,
yes. So on permanent display, we always have the Gutenberg Bible. We have the oldest photograph taken from a camera. It's usually
the Gutenberg Bible here is one of five.
One of five anywhere in the United States,
and
21 complete anywhere in the world.
Wow.
So it's an extraordinary thing to have. It's always on permanent display. We have a big exhibit through June, I believe, of James Joyce and the making of Ulysses. We have a display right now on David Foster Wallace on old maps and the Nobel Prize winning author, Isaac Bashevis Singer, all of whom have their papers here at the Ransom Center.
What have you learned, going back full circle from magic, producing anything new since we last talked? I mean, because we talked a lot at length about the bookcase, and then you had some more things over there. But anything new on Houdini that you've learned? Or
Well, right now, thanks to John Cox, I had right upstairs on a very temporary display. It's coming down tomorrow. There's the magician, German magician Frickel. We have a small piece of paper that apparently was in Frickel's dress suit jacket at the time that he died. And according to his widow, it was the last thing that Frickel ever wrote.
Wow.
And Houdini has a note to this effect at the top of this piece of paper. But it's hard to read, and it's in German. So right now we're currently crowdsourcing this over Twitter to see if anybody can read it and translate it for us. So that'll be a fun discovery once maybe somebody's already gotten it. I haven't checked my Twitter in a bit.
Is it going to be coming down tomorrow in such a short exhibit?
It's coming down tomorrow mainly because it's not in a place where we normally have displays. But we wanted to have something for this amazingly big group that's here today. I didn't want to just show them things on a projector. So. There's a handful of items from the collections.
That's
on display.
Great. Well, Eric, thank you very much
for
doing this and putting this out and for hosting this wonderful event that we are so fortunate to get to see.
It's a treat. It's my pleasure. Always. And you're always welcome.
Thanks again.
Yeah.
Appreciate that. So from the Magic Word Podcast, that was Dr. Eric Coleri. Scotty. So we're now upstairs and kind of looking around some of the amazing artifacts they have displayed for us here at the Ransom Center. And one of the artifacts that's on display is Lance Burton, the magician used to be known.
That was a wonderful lecture that we just heard, wasn't it?
Wow.
I loved it, all the history of the Houdini and the collection. But you know what? I was talking to Chip Romaro. He hated it. I said, Chip, why didn't you like the lecture? He said, the guy never mentioned Doug Henning one time.
Now, I know you're a listener also of the podcast. I've had you on the podcast in the past. And so tomorrow night's going to be our Magic and Martini Thursday night.
We're nice.
So you're going to hopefully join us. Is that okay?
Oh, yeah. I'd love to. I'd love to join you guys. As long as there's no drinking. I'm happy to join in.
Because you and Fielding are going to be talking tomorrow night.
That's right. We got to talk tomorrow night at, about this show we did 40 years ago.
And that was the...
USA for Africa.
Aid thing.
Yeah, it was the Stars of Magic concert for hunger in Africa.
And who all was part of that show?
That was a show that that was back when they had the, in the mid-80s, they had the, maybe 1985, I want to say, they had the famine over in Africa, over in Ethiopia, and the singers all got together and recorded that We Are the World.
We Are the World, yeah.
And
Michael Jackson and everybody.
Michael Jackson, Paul McCartney was on it, Bruce Springsteen, everybody. Mm-hmm. Every great musical artist was on that one song. And we saw that, and Fielding and I, and we said, why can't magicians do something like that? So we put together this show, and it was at the Tropicana Hotel where I was working, the Follies per Share. And we had Harry Anderson was the MC. We had Doug Henning. We had Siegfried and Roy. We had Harry Blackstone Jr., Max Maven. We had Jeff McBride. It's escaping me now, but it was the greatest lineup ever.
You and Fielding.
And me and Fielding, and it was a fantastic night of magic. And it was sold out, and we raised $20,000 to go to USA for Africa.
$20,000, that's quite a bit back then, too.
Yes.
And so was there a video made of that evening?
Yes. We had I had a camcorder, and we set it up just for archival purposes. Mm-hmm. So we've taken that video and had it condensed down.
Yeah.
Because it was a two-hour show. Mm-hmm. So I think it's been condensed down to like 40 minutes. So basically you see one trick from all the
each person, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And so we're going to show that and give a little
just
history.
Kind of a running narration of that then.
Yeah, we'll introduce it and show it and then maybe take some questions afterwards. So,
but it was looking forward to that. I really am. That should be some fun.
It was a fun show.
And a one-off, one-time, never to be repeated
one time.
Thing.
That was it. And I can't remember in recent history where you had every big name in magic, you know, all together at one place like that.
Before nor after. I can't either think of something. That was a seminal point in history. You're right.
Yeah, but that was a really, it was a really seminal point in popular culture, too, with the whole USA for Africa. And then Bob Geldof did that Live Aid.
That's right, Live Aid concert.
It was a live show, but that was after.
That was Bangladesh, though, wasn't it, or something?
I'm not sure. My memory of the whole thing, they all kind of blend together.
Yeah,
but I remember it was Michael Jackson and Lionel Richie wrote the song, We Are the World. And then they got all the artists to come over right after the Grammy Awards. They were all in L.A., for the Grammy Awards, and then after the show, they all came over to a studio, and they recorded the song.
Wow, yeah. Well, it's going to be fun then tomorrow night to hear that and see some of the videos you talk about that, too. Well, thanks very much, and also I want to publicly thank you also. So we have our newest donor. We got another friend of the Magic Word. Thank you for your donation.
My pleasure. Keep up the good work.
Some of the Magic Word podcast. That was the magician used to be known as Lance Burton. Scotty, yeah. So we're now on the bus, and we're heading back from the Ransom Center. And how fortuitous is it of me to sit next to Mike Caveney? Hey there, Mike.
Hey, hi, everybody.
So we are about to go have some barbecue and then go see Esther's Follies, which you have seen before, I know.
I have never seen before.
Oh, you are in for a treat.
One of the main reasons I came here was to see Esther's Follies.
And Ray Anderson, the show. Yeah.
Of course, yeah. I have been told... And the people weren't laughing when they said it. They said, this is the best magic show in America.
I think so. So Ray's my favorite magician. And
wow.
It's amazing. I mean, I've seen a lot, and he's great.
So I'm really excited to see it because I know Ray, and he's a great guy. And so, yeah.
I'm excited that you're...
Yeah, yeah.
They'll be getting to experience this through other people's eyes for the first time.
Yeah.
You're also going to be a dealer. Are you going to be giving a presentation or anything this week?
I'm going to be interviewing Kathy Daniel. Do you know Kathy Daniel?
Not personally.
Well, I met Kathy when I was 16 years old, and she lives very near to me, so I see her all the time. I've known her almost my whole life, and she was married to John Daniel, and when I was a young Long Beach Mystics, all of us guys thought that John Daniel was the great illusionist of our time. Classy, beautiful, beautiful assistants, costumes, sets, the props were magnificent. It was like a review show, but magic. And so he was the guy.
Where did he tour? Was it up and down the West Coast?
No, he would go into, like, casino. He would work at Lake Tahoe, or he went down to the Carillon Hotel in Miami Beach in 1970 for a long run. He worked in Puerto Rico, and then he quit. And that's why there is a generation of magicians that don't know the name.
I really don't, because I was thinking John Daniel in England, who had the magic TV show. Was that his name?
Paul Daniels.
No, not Paul Daniels, but another, was there John somebody that had a, the World of Magic series?
John Fisher?
John Fisher. That's
totally
who, okay,
different.
In my mind, that was what I was thinking.
Yeah. No, so John was a great magician, but it's funny. John got out of magic, I mean, stopped being a professional magician, and started collecting trains, model trains, and became the president of the train association and the biggest train collector out there. Then got out of that and got into carousel horses and became the biggest collector of carousel horses and the president of the carousel.
Gee, he didn't do anything just halfway.
Not halfway. and on and on. So anyway, but I always hung around for the magic. And so I'm going to interview Kathy, and you're going to learn all about
their
show and about their...
Because John died, I assume, a while back?
Yes, he died a few years back. He was very, very close friends with Virgil and Julie, ended up getting Virgil and Julie's entire show.
Oh.
So I was around for all of that. I actually bought John's show, Shazam Show, from him 40 years ago.
Were you planning on
touring?
Is what it is.
I will tell the story tomorrow, and it's a ridiculous story. I had no interest in any of it, but he said, well, I have a manuscript by Dante, and it's at the bottom of that pile of red trunks, and if you'll buy the show, I'll give you that manuscript. And I bought the show, and he never found the manuscript.
Oh, and you probably dug through every inch of it.
Oh, believe me.
Yeah.
I'm still digging, believe me. So anyway.
So how many years did he perform, actually?
Oh, well, he's the one that built the first modern thin model sawing in half in 1957. So he was performing in the late 50s.
It was his own design, so he was a creator and inventor, too.
He was a co-owner with Owen Magic, with Carl Owen, for years.
Okay.
So he has an amazing career in magic. His first wife was Irene Daniel, who ended up marrying Bill Larson, Princess Irene Larson.
Oh, I didn't know. Okay.
And the most amazing fact of all is that John's first wife, Irene, and John's second wife, Kathy, were the dearest of friends, always, which I think is pretty rare.
That doesn't happen very often, most of those kinds of relationships.
No. So, yeah, amazing, amazing.
So that's going to be tomorrow. And there's a book out, I think, also. Did you write this about John Daniel?
I wrote... Well, he has a big chapter in my Sawing in Half book.
Mm-hmm.
The whole story of the thin model sawing. So he's in there. And I'm working on another book. I can't let this sawing subject go. And it's a deep, deep dive into the thin model sawing. So there's going to be a lot more about John and Kathy.
So there's going to be a chapter two or a book two to be a companion guide?
It's actually a companion guide to a previous book I did called The Conference Illusions. And that was the book where I wrote up all the illusions that I had performed at the Los Angeles Conference on Magic History.
Oh, okay.
But since that book was published, I've done three additional illusions at the conference.
Mm-hmm.
Carter the Great Spirit Cabinet, The Birth of a Pearl, and John Daniel's Thin Model Sawing. So I'm just going to wrap up that with these three last allusions, but I have a ton of material on them.
Now, you know how long it takes to write and publish a book, so when do you think, realistically, that should come about?
Well, the Spirit Cabinet chapter is done. The Birth of a Pearl chapter is done. And the only chapter left is the Thin Model Sawing. But in the past year, the guy who actually invented the Thin Model Sawing was a guy in Istanbul, Turkey, named Zadi Sungar. Nobody knows Zadi Sungar. But I'm
you
now.
You get him in the book, though, I've heard.
Yes, he's in the book. But I'm now best friends with Zadi Sungar's 81-year-old daughter.
81-year-old
and
daughter.
She has provided me with amazing information about her father and about that trick and other tricks. So this chapter is expanding way beyond the normal bounds. So, it should, I mean, if I'd stay home and work on it, it could be done sooner than later.
Which means by Christmas of 24?
I don't know. I don't know. It'll come out when it's done.
When it's done with them, that's, yeah. That's a good point. And I assume that you have the Malini book. I know Gabe's going to be talking about the new Max Malini book.
I got mine this afternoon.
I just got mine. I had a pre-order on that, and then, it's sitting right next to my sawing book. Those are a couple of things
good.
To read.
Yeah, that's a
that
lot.
I have. So I appreciate it. Well, you're doing a lot of good here, and I know you're going to see a great show here a little bit later.
I can't wait.
Good talking to you.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
So for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Mike Cavey. Scott Young.
Talk to him of late?
Well, I have, but I came to his place of business, and he gave me a tour. We had a real nice talk, and
yeah.
I did a video. The video on YouTube is still getting a lot of hits, and so, by the way, for those of you who have already jumped into this part of the conversation, we're now at Esther's Follies, waiting in line for barbecue, then with Pat Hazel and with John Gaughan. Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hey.
Together.
I remember being at John's shop so many years ago, before or after a haircut at Dean Dill's.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And when I got there, I remember those parrots chasing me around the shop like like guard dogs. I mean, they and you were like, just stay back a little bit, just you know. But they were aggressive parrots.
You still have parrots?
No, unfortunately, I don't.
Okay.
Max died when he was 91, and in Luther, we had to give to a guy that had three or four other macaws. And he's real happy now. And I get emails from Luther every once in a while. So he's having fun.
Pictures and telling you how they're
yeah,
doing.
Yeah, he looks good. His feathers look great. And he's very happy.
So what brings you guys here to this collector's? I know, John, you have done a lot of shows here then with collectors in the past.
Well, yeah, just to see good old people.
Yeah. Good point.
That's great.
Yeah.
Post-pandemic, you know, retouching with humanity.
Yeah.
That's right. And, Pat, you're going to be giving a presentation. You're performing Friday night?
I'm emceeing or hosting Friday night show with Nick Lewin, Brad Henderson, Marcus Sue Holstein. Yeah, it's going to be, you know, a star-studded event, I guess.
And so on Facebook we saw where you had done a show up in, actually a lot of places, but in back in hometown in Omaha. So how did everything go there?
Just fine. Still waiting for them to pay me. That's how show business works.
Especially from your hometown. It's kind of like, we'll get to him.
No, it's fine. It's a beautiful new theater, though. If they're ever up in that area, the Benson Theater is now Chip Davis from Mannheim Steamroller put a lot of technology in there, that sort of thing. So it's got great state of the art.
Speaking of getting paid, that's another thing. In fact, if you go back, I think, the podcast episodes you and I had done. Go ahead, John.
Go ahead.
You had been performing with Terry Seabrook in Lubbock, and you lost your check.
Oh, my goodness. That was a hugely long time ago.
That's right.
Was a New Year's Eve, I think.
And you lost your check and you ended up finding it in your suitcase or something.
I did many. It was many weeks later that I found it in a folder. But they scoured the club after New Year's Eve, which was the floor was full of confetti and the popped balloons and the, you know, there was a lot of drunk patrons. No check. Everywhere we looked.
I just remember Terry Seabrook making fun of you.
Yes.
Because you were both staying with me in my house, but I came back to Midland.
Yeah, it was super fun. It was a really fun visit.
I remember also, of course, we were something about the Winter Olympics might have been going ice. Well, you were in the hot tub with us, Kathy and I, because I just remember there being ice on your hair.
Okay, that I don't recall, but okay. It could have been any day of the week that could have happened.
That's true.
Yeah.
So before we wrap up, so I know you have seen Ray Anderson's show here at the Masters Folly.
It's the greatest.
It is the best.
Yeah. Ray is has such attention to detail, and it's a tightly wound show with comedy and music and magic all intertwined, and it's
fresh.
It's always fresh, right up to the moment.
Yeah. Because whatever's happening in today's news, they've now have made it a satire out of it.
Well, they have a nice system where they write every week. That all the performers are writers, and they write songs, and so it's really cool, fun to watch.
And so as to your podcast on creativity and captivity, tell me something about that.
Well,
people can listen to it.
We've had tons. It's on everything. It's on Spotify and Apple and Audible, whatever they watch or listen to, I guess.
While you're there looking at any of these places to find the Magic Word podcast, also look for Creativity Captivity.
Right. And I did an hour with Ray Anderson. I did Homer Lee Wag is coming up. Okay. Chris Kenner is coming up. A lot of folks. So.
So it was a very interesting podcast that Pat has, because he's talking a lot about about creativity, and with different people, like the guy, the president of Pixar, and other kinds of things. Not just magicians by any means.
No. It's lots of different disciplines. And like, I talked to one of the Go-Go's this week, and I talked to a woman that's a master chocolatier that did all the chocolates for the White House when Obama was there, and that sort of thing. So it's kind of a lot of different people. But I find that the creative process is transferable. So talking to writers, musicians, filmmakers, animators.
Artists, performing people who are creative.
Yeah. Yeah.
And your son is involved with it too, isn't he?
Not this one that's here with me tonight. But there is one of them that is editor on some episodes.
I thought I had heard his name when you were saying it.
Tucker, yeah. He's quite good as an audio editor.
Yeah.
So it's kind of fun to be able to do that.
It would be cool.
Work together. And he picks some of the people that he wants to get to know better. So there's a comedian named Nate Bergazzi coming up. He's a really hilarious guy.
Yeah, Steve's son. Steven Bergazzi's son.
In fact, I'm going to go see the two of them in Las Vegas in May.
You've not seen them perform yet?
I have not seen Steven. Okay. And so I'm really looking forward to that. And in May, he's opening for Nate at the Wynn Theater. So.
Very good act. Very good act. So, anyhow, great. Thanks very much. So we're getting in line. We're about to have some barbecue. Thanks a lot, Pat. So with the Magic Word Podcast, that was Pat Hazel, Scotty M.